Morning. If you don't, look in the pew in front of you. There should be at least three up there. And we have those up there for a reason. Amen. If you don't have your own Bible, you're more than welcome to read one of ours. And if you want one, just see one of the ushers. We'll give you one. It may not be a $100 Bible, but it'll be a Bible. It'll work. Amen. Let's pray this morning before we begin. Heavenly Father, we come to you with expectancy today, expecting to hear from heaven, because we know that you desire to give us instruction. And so we look to the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher of the church, for insight, for revelation. That simply means to uncover things that perhaps we haven't seen before. And we thank you for the anointing, not only to anoint my lips to speak accurately and clearly, but also the anointing so that each heart can receive and understand your word today. And so we give you thanks in advance for all that you're doing in the lives of your people today, in Jesus' name, amen. If you would open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 16, and I'm continuing a series of messages that I've been doing on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. I call this series Following the Shepherd, simply because Jesus is identified in the Scripture as the Great Shepherd or the Chief Shepherd. And the job of a shepherd is to care for the sheep. And the psalmist said in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we've looked at that scripture many, many times. And of course, the New Living Translation says this in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need." And so I have said this over the years, that great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. Well, if Jesus is the shepherd, and he is certainly such, then he's still leading his sheep today. And we need to know how he does it. So we began in Psalm 119:105, where the psalmist said, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And of course, Jesus himself said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So the primary way that the Holy Spirit leads us, or the shepherd leads his sheep, is number one, through the Word. God's Word is our rule for faith and practice. We live by the book. That's the bottom line. And if you want to know what God thinks about a particular thing, it's probably listed in the book somewhere. Just find what he said about it, and that can be your standard for living. Are you with me? And so we live by the Word. And, I had a thought. I heard somebody say this years ago, that when Moses ascended to Mount Sinai and spent 40 days in the presence of God, and he gave him some instruction for his people, he did not give Moses 10 suggestions. In fact, he engraved them in stone. Have you ever wondered where that expression comes from? Is it written in stone? Came from that experience that Moses had on Mount Sinai. Didn't give him 10 suggestions. Didn't give him 10 commandments. "This is what I want you to do." And so really, the only choice that we have is to obey the Word or disobey the Word. But there have been times I've had people come to me, "Pastor Bill, would you pray with me about this? Give me some help." "Sure, what do you need?" And they give me the situation, and I tell them what the Bible says. And I've had people say to me over the years, nobody in this room would be that stupid, but I've had people say to me over the years, "Well, that's not what I want to hear." I say, "Well, what did you expect?" "Well, you're telling me the same thing the other pastor told me." And I'm thinking, yes, at least we're on the same page. "Well, I don't want to hear that." "Well, what did you want me to do? What'd you come to me for?" "Well, I was hoping you'd prophesy something different to me." I said, "Oh, I'm the wrong guy. I don't do that." We're going to talk about prophecy this morning. Visions, dreams. That's one way that the Lord leads us. But the primary way he leads us is by his word. The secondary way that he leads us is by the inward witness. Psalm 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The word lamp, near, is the same word found in Psalm 119:105. "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet." So God illuminates us, or gives us direction through his word. He also gives us direction by his spirit in our spirit. He leads us from the inside out. And we saw that in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit of God lives in us. It says it four times. If the Spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that lives in you. And then verse 14 says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Well, if the Spirit of God lives in us, then it would stand to reason He's going to lead us from the inside out, not from the outside in. So the primary way He leads us is through the Word. He also leads us by the inward witness from within. Now, let's look at John chapter 16. And this is where we left off last week. John 16, verse 13. Jesus is speaking, and He said this, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." And so, the Lord leads us by the Holy Spirit. He said, when He has come, He will guide. The Greek word hodageo, which means literally to take someone by the hand and to lead them and guide them. And He will do that in your life by the inside out. So the Holy Spirit, number one, guides. Number two, Jesus said, He will speak to you. So He speaks. He has a voice. And many times the voice of the Lord is heard on the inside of us. And it's not some big booming thing normally. Normally, it's a still, small voice. And all of us have heard that still, small voice. There have been times I've been in situations. I remember one time I was working in a convenience store, second shift, cooking my dinner. And the Lord spoke to me. And I happened to have, we made this thing that I really love, beans and burger, you know. And somehow we had the Tupperware in a cabinet where there were some other things, some sewing needles and straight pins. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And so I'm standing at the microwave. I just warmed up my beans and burger that I love so much. And I'm standing there by the microwave, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, remember that time I told you not to go through the intersection? I told that story. Saved my life. And I'm stirring my beans and burger. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you remember that? I said, oh yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I was so thankful. And as I took the next stir, I happened to look down at my Tupperware container with my beans and burger. And up out of the beans came a straight pin, stuck straight up in the air. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. And I have tipped the straight pin out of there. Now, obviously, I didn't eat that batch because there may have been more in it. But you know, the Lord speaks to us all the time. He does. He speaks to us all the time. The problem is we get so busy and so noisy, we don't listen. And He'll speak to you about a myriad of things. All kind of things. One time, I had a situation. I was living in Missouri. I just moved to Missouri, and I was getting my utility set up and got my telephone service turned on and had a conversation with the operator, and everything was cool, hung up. She called me back and said, Mr. Young, we need a deposit. Deposit? What do you mean deposit? I didn't have a deposit on my phone when I left Oklahoma. She said, well, you're new in the state, and you don't have any established credit here. I'm like, I've always paid my bills. What do you mean I need a deposit? Well, that's just company policy. Now, listen to me. I did not cuss at this woman. I don't do that. I have more control over my spirit and my words than to do something like that. I don't cuss people out. And so anyway, this woman, who was that? One of the kids? Thanks, Greg. Anyway, this woman was on the phone with me. We needed a deposit. And I said, well, you know, why do I need a deposit? She told me the situation. You don't have any credit in Missouri, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, all right, great. I'll do it. And so I got all the information. So I hung up on that conversation with her. And you know the Lord spoke to me. And He said, you need to call her back and apologize. I thought, what? You need to call her back and apologize. You were rude. I heard those words on the inside of me. Now, I've got two choices. Call her back and apologize, or pretend like I didn't hear that. But how many of you know that doesn't work very well? I heard what he said to me. And so I called the operator back, and it's tough to track down an individual operator on a big network. But I did. I said, I just spoke to a woman, and I need to talk to her. And they said, well, Mr. Young, we can help you. They got the computer screen. They got all my information. I said, no, I need to talk to her. Well, she's probably on the phone with somebody else. I'll wait. So it took about 8 minutes. Finally, she got on the phone. Hello, this is so-and-so. I said, so-and-so, this is Bill Young. We just spoke earlier on the phone about my phone service. She said, yes, Mr. Young, how can I help you? I said, I called you to apologize. She said, huh? I said, I was rude to you. I'm sorry. Would you accept my apology? And I guess people are rude to her all the time. And she said, well, I didn't think anything of it, but yeah, you sincerely have my apology. I said, well, thank you. Now, what did I get out of that situation? It taught me two things. Number one, I heard the voice of the Lord, and I did what he told me to do. And number two, I don't like being chastised like that by the Lord. And so I learned to temper my words with other people from that time forward. Are you with me? And over the years, listen, we're all adults in the room, right? We got our big boy pants on. Or big gal pants on, whatever. There are times you're going to have confrontations with people. There are times people are going to say things and do things that you don't like. How do you respond? Well, follow the shepherd. He'll lead you and guide you the right way. Instead of being a hothead flying off the handle and giving people a piece of your mind. You know what happens when you do that? You do that enough times, you don't have much left. If you can't say amen, say, oh me. So he leads us by the word. He leads us by the inward witness. He leads us by the voice of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a voice. And he speaks to us all the time. Many times he will impress you to do things. Have you ever been there? You just have this sense on the inside. This is the right thing to do. And so now I have learned, based on my life over all these years and what I've experienced in the last 2 years, when I'm impressed to do something good for somebody, I don't think about it. I just do it. I just do it. Life is too short. I just do it. I've had impressions, why don't you buy somebody some flowers? I do it. I got an account with FTD. They know my name. I'm a flower sender. Are you with me? I do flowers, I do cards, I do all those little things that make a difference with people. Why? Because I'm just impressed to do it on the inside. The other day I was in a store, and there was a woman paying her bill, and she was $3 and some change short. And she's hustling and bustling, oh, wait a minute, let me get on the phone, let me call my daughter. And I was just impressed. Pay the balance. And so I looked at her and I said, no need for that. Went in my wallet, laid a $10 bill on the counter, and everybody stopped and looked at me like, what are you, nuts? No, I'm just trying to be a blessing. I said, no need for that. Here you go. I didn't know this woman from Adam. Never seen her before in my life. But just followed through on what I was impressed to do in my spirit. One time I was at Topps Market on the east side. I don't live too far from there. And there was an older woman behind me in line, and she was diligently counting her money, and she's looking at her food, trying to make sure she had enough money to pay for this food. It looked like enough for a meal for a day or two. And she looked like my grandma. But I didn't know this woman, had never seen her before in my life. So I looked, noticed her counting again. Didn't pay any attention. I'm at the grocery store, Janet, minding my own business. And the Lord spoke to me, said, buy her groceries. And so I looked back, tried to do my own estimate as to how much it was. And I don't remember how much it was, but, you know, I paid for my groceries. And then I gave the clerk, I believe it was $40. I said, this is for hers, and just give her the change. And he said, oh, okay. He thought it was my grandma. It wasn't. I didn't know who this woman was. Now, see, here's where your true character rises to the surface. What are you going to do with that? Number one, are you going to obey the Lord? Follow the shepherd. Number two, what are you going to do afterwards? You're going to stick your chest out? Ha! I want to see how... No, you know what I did? Left the store and got in my car and went home. That's all the Lord told me to do. Now, I know she was excited that somebody bought her groceries. But how often do we miss a blessing because we don't follow the shepherd? We don't follow through on those inspirations that we have on the inside, those inclinations, those yearnings, those leadings. Are you with me? Now, they will always fall in line with the Word. And the Bible does say, give, and it shall be given to you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. Now, in the same manner, there have been times when people have given to me too much. You ever go through the bank drive-through and they give you too much money? Some of y'all thought, woo, praise the Lord, God is blessing me. No. Remember the first time it happened, the Lord said, you need to give that money back. So I went around in a circle, got back in line, had to wait. It took me a few minutes. When I finally got there, I said, you know, this, you gave me too much change. You gave me $40 too much, $100 too much. It happens to me often. I always give it back because it's not mine. And I know the person at the counter, booth, whatever, is going to have a problem when they come up short. Right. Amen? So you want to follow the shepherd and do the right thing. The Holy Spirit has a voice. We need to listen to Him. Now, the fourth way that He primarily leads us is by the peace of God. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule literally means be the umpire. Now, Colossians 3:15. And so in life, there are times when you break the rules, the umpire will blow the whistle, throw the flag, flip the card. You'll lose the peace of God on the inside. See, nobody has to tell you in life as a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, if Jesus lives in you, nobody has to tell you that you missed it. Because you know on the inside. Can I get a witness? You have that condemnation on the inside. You lose that peace on the inside. You know immediately something ain't right. Well, that gives you an opportunity to change. That's what the Greek word means that's translated in English, repent. Change. Repentance is not being sorry you did wrong. That's godly sorrow. But godly sorrow leads to repentance. Repentance is change. So you haven't repented till you've changed. Are you with me? And so once you've changed, you ask the Lord to forgive you. He cleanses you. Boom, you move forward. You don't live by your feelings anymore. But you'll lose that peace on the inside. Those are the primary ways that the Holy Spirit leads us in life. By the Word, by the inward witness, by the voice of the Spirit. There are times He will speak to you clearly and distinctly. And by the peace of God on the inside. Now, what about the other means by which He leads? Turn with me in your Bibles to Joel chapter 2. Joel is one of those minor prophets just before the Gospel of Matthew. Joel chapter 2, about 20, 30 pages before Matthew. Right after Daniel and Hosea. Between Daniel and Matthew, you'll find Joel. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, very familiar verse, verse 28. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, Joel chapter 2. Notice this, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Now, these are things that do happen from time to time in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, in and among believers. But is that the primary way that He leads us? No. These things do happen from time to time. But listen to me, they are rare. Everybody say rare. That means they don't happen every morning. I'm a little leery about people who prophesy every day. That normally doesn't happen that way. Now, does God give people dreams? Yes. Listen, here's a little tip for you. You'll find throughout the Bible that God spoke to men through dreams. It happened to Nebuchadnezzar. It happened with Joseph. It happened many times in the Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. Listen, the only people, you got to get this now, the only people who needed their dreams interpreted were ungodly people. And they would always go to godly people to find the answer to their dream. If a Christian has a dream and it has spiritual significance, when you wake up, you will know exactly what to do. You won't have to buy a dream book. Christians with dream books are like fish who can't swim. Christians don't need dream books. If you don't know what to do when you woke up, I know what your dream meant. I've got the interpretation. Amen. You know what it is? Whatever you ate the night before, don't eat no more of that. It messed you up. It caused some wild dreams to happen. Amen? Look, when God gave Joseph a dream, when Joseph woke up, he knew exactly what to do. The Lord warned him in a dream and said, you know, they're going to come to kill this child. I want you to take him to Egypt. And so when he woke up, that's what he did. He told Mary, we're heading out. And it fulfilled the scripture where it says, out of Egypt I've called my son. But he knew exactly what to do. Joseph didn't have to go down to the local dream book guy and said, you know, I had this dream. What does it mean? No. The only people who needed their dreams interpreted were ungodly people who didn't know him. You have an advantage. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. He'll lead you and guide you from the inside out. So if God speaks to you from a dream, you will know exactly what to do when you wake up, and it'll be right in line with what the Bible says, and you'll have the peace of God in your heart. Are you with me? What about prophecy? Prophecy, the Greek word in the New Testament, prophetuo, literally means to speak by inspiration. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, he that prophesies speaks to men, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Simple prophecy has nothing to do with the future. Are you with me? Simple prophecy will edify, build you up, charge you up, comfort you, or propel you forward. And it has no revelation with it at all. Are you with me? There have been times that I've prophesied. Doesn't happen every day. I wish it would. It doesn't. There was one time I was an associate minister at our church in Missouri, and we're doing praise and worship, and we were singing a wonderful song, Anointing, Fall on Me. You know, remember that one? Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing, fall. I mean, we were just caught up in the Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me. And generally when he does that, he'll give me one sentence. That's all I had, Fred, one sentence. And so I knew it was something to bless the congregation. It's an inspired utterance in the language that you know that'll edify, exhort, and comfort. It's a group thing. And so I said, you know, the Lord has something. He gave me a word. So the pastor said, give it. And all I had was the first sentence. The anointing comes many different ways. That's all I had. But when I said that, the rest of it started to flow. The anointing comes many different ways. It comes by worship. It comes by praise. But it also comes by doing the word. That is acting in obedience to the things that you've heard. And the anointing will increase. Yes, it'll grow. And out of your life, it'll begin to flow. To minister life, to minister love, to bring God's power down from above. I thought, wow, that's pretty good stuff. I wish I could do that every day. But I can't. And you don't have to rhyme when you prophesy. But it's an inspired utterance that'll edify people, charge people up, or comfort them. Simple prophecy has nothing to do with the future. So, the Bible says, notice again, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. What is a vision? Here in the Old Testament, the Greek word kizion. It literally means a divinely granted appearance. What is a vision? Well, you find a lot about visions in the Bible. You see them in the Old Testament and you see them in the New Testament. Particularly, James, John, and Peter went with Jesus up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And guess who showed up? Moses and Elijah. And Peter saw all three of them, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Now listen, Peter had never seen Moses before. He had never met Moses, but somehow he knew who it was. Your spirit knows things your head will never figure out. And when you get to heaven, you won't have to ask anybody, I wonder who's David the king? When you meet him, you'll know him. You'll know that's him. You'll know it. Hey, King David, how you doing? Watch, you'll see. Okay, you'll see. Visions, a divinely granted appearance. So Peter saw all three of these men, and all of a sudden he said, man, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. Well, Moses and Elijah disappeared, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And Peter saw that. Now, we're going to talk about that event in a few minutes. There were times when Paul the Apostle had visions. An angel appeared to him. One time when they were on a shipwreck, an angel appeared to him and said, hey, you're all going to survive, you're going to make it, but you're going to be cast onto a certain island. And they're in this terrible storm, hadn't seen the sun or moon for 14 days. So Paul comes out of that ship and said, sirs, I believe God. It will be even as it was told me. We're going to end up on a little island and the ship's going to break up, but you can't jump overboard. You've got to stay with the ship. Now, that was a dramatic instance of the Lord leading Paul and saving the lives of these men. But they could have avoided the whole thing had they listened to Paul weeks before. Because the Bible says before they sailed, Paul went to the captain of the ship and said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be of much hurt, not only of the ship and the cargo, but our lives. Now, what does it mean, I perceive? It literally means he knew something on the inside. And he warned them, I perceive there's going to be trouble on this. If I were you, I wouldn't sail. But the captain of the ship thought the weather's perfect. It's bright and sunny. We've got the right breeze. Sorry, preacher, we're heading out. And boy, did they get into a mess. How many times have you gotten into a mess because you didn't listen to the leading of the Spirit on the inside? Amen? He had an inward knowing. Now, maybe he saw something, maybe the Spirit spoke to him. He just knew on the inside, this is not good. We need to stay here. Amen? You know, oftentimes when we don't listen to the shepherd, we get in trouble. And thank God, that's why God sent me to teach you so you can learn how to follow him. Are you with me? I told you about God saving my life. At that intersection, I had the green light and the Lord said, don't go through the intersection. Well, I listened, Odina, and I watched that car run that red light. And I had a praise break. I had a praise break. I knew I heard from heaven. Amen. And he's done that with me three times. Thank God he spared my life because he has a reason, a purpose for me to be here. And he does the same thing with you. He doesn't care about me any more than he cares about you. But if we'll learn to follow those inward intuitions, that inward knowing, we would avoid a lot of trouble. Amen? Now, what about prophecy, visions, and dreams? Visions, a divinely granted appearance. Paul not only saw an angel, he saw Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on many occasions and instructed him. This guy wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had more insight in the working of the church than did any of the apostles who followed with Jesus physically. And he wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, but this gospel of grace that I preached to you, I didn't learn it from men. He said, I got it by revelation. Well, what did he mean by revelation? That means it was there all the time. The Lord pulled the covers off and taught him about it. I truly believe that Paul was in his house one day, and Jesus came walking through the wall, pulled up a chair, sat down and said, Paul, I'm going to teach you about the church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he did. Yes. And he went on to talk about how vision propelled him in his ministry. Remember when he stood before King Agrippa? Mm-hmm. Instead of making this flowery, educated, oratorical argument for the gospel of Christ, you know what he talked about? A vision. He said, I was on the road to Damascus. I saw a light brighter than the sun and knocked me off my horse. I heard a voice from heaven say, Paul, Paul, why do you keep kicking against the pricks? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now I want you to go into this city. I've got a mission for you. And I'll tell you what to do. And he got up and couldn't see a thing. He's telling the king about a vision that he had. And she said, King Agrippa, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision, a divinely granted appearance. Now, what about visions? People have visions all the time. What do we do with them? Number one, as a believer, visions, dreams are rare. These things happen as God wills, not as we will. It's wrong for you to seek a vision. Oh, I'm going to fast and pray till I see an angel. You're going to hurt yourself. If you saw an angel, it'd probably scare you. Scared all these other people that saw one. Hey, angels are not little fat babies with wings. Did you know that? They are not little fat babies with wings. The Bible says they excel in strength and in power. And all of us have one. In the Gospel of Luke, they were bringing children to Jesus, and some of the disciples, you know, their attitude was wrong. Said, ah, Jesus doesn't have time for kids. He said, no. Let them come to me. Because the kingdom of God is just like these young children. And he said this, in heaven, their angels behold the face of God. Now, I truly believe that just because you grew up, you didn't lose your angel. He's still there. They are all ministers sent forth for those who shall be heirs of salvation. That's you and me. Amen. You have an angel. His job is to protect you, to not necessarily to lead you and guide you. At times, if you're hard-headed, he may step in there. Are you with me? But he's there to protect you. And he's there all the time. You didn't lose him just because you turned 13. Okay? But we're not necessarily led by angels. There are times angels give messages. But the primary way that the shepherd leads us, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, is from the inside out. But you may have a vision and see your angel, or see an angel. And if an angel ever gives you a message, don't just run after it, lock, stock, and barrel. You need to run it through those first four filters that we talked about. What does the Word say? Do you know most major religions and cults began because somebody was deceived?
Amen. Amen.
There are major religions that came about because somebody had a vision, mm-hmm. listened to an angel, mm-hmm. gave him a message that was contrary to what the gospel says. Mm-hmm. And billions of people are lost because of it.
Amen.
One prophet had a vision over a period of 20 years because an angel would minister to him and tell him these things, and out of that he wrote a book. And he would have these angelic visitations during times when he was falling out on the floor having seizures and foaming at the mouth. And then when he'd wake up, he'd start to spout this stuff. Well, you can have half a brain in one eye. You know where that came from. Are you with me? Visions, dreams. Well, we have to run them through the filters. If they don't line up with what God's Word says, we just forget about it. Are you with me? There are a lot of people today who think that In order to be ultra spiritual, you have to have some new revelation. Do you know what the word revelation means? The word revelation does not mean something new. The word revelation means something that's been uncovered, something revealed. In other words, it was there all the time, you just didn't know it. It was there all the time, you just didn't see it. And so there are times the Lord will pull the covers off so you see a different facet that's been true all the time. You just didn't know it. But it's not some new thing. I remember one time I was talking with a guy, and I said, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. And he says, oh, I'm beyond that book. I said, ooh, you beyond me, brother. You got way out there. You know, yeah, you're way beyond the Bible. Okay, I'm going to let you sail out there by yourself, my friend, because you are twisted. And you're headed for a crash. Amen? So, visions, dreams, yeah, they do happen. But we have to run them through the filters. Now, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. How are we on time, Patrick? Good, good, good. All right. I want to let you all out before the buffet crowd. 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember I talked about that vision that Peter saw when Jesus was transfigured? He wrote about it in his second letter to the church. And I want you to notice what he said. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice verse 16. Peter wrote this, "For we were not following cleverly devised stories when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, grandeur, authority, of sovereign power. For when He was invested with honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice borne to Him by the splendid majestic glory in the bright cloud that overshadowed Him, saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased and delight.' We actually heard this voice out of heaven, for we were together with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made firmer still. You would do well to pay close attention to it, as to, notice this, a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place until the day breaks through the gloom and the morning star arises, comes into being in your hearts. Yet first you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of any personal or private or special interpretation, loosening, solving. For no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It never came by human impulse, but men spoke from God who were born among or along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit." And so here's what Peter is saying. I was with Jesus and I had a vision and I heard the voice of God booming from heaven. But we have something that's more sure than a vision, more sure than a booming voice from heaven, more sure than that glorious bright cloud that overshadowed him. And I saw it. And that thing that's more sure is the written word of God. It's more sure, the Greek word babios, which literally means it's firm, it's stable, it's steadfast. You know, there have been a lot of people over the years who have shared their visions with me. And I appreciate them all, and I believe some of them were true. But I don't hang my hat on them. I don't put my faith in them. I don't put my confidence in them. Last Christmas, we had a visitor, two visitors from St. Louis, Pastor Leonard Barber and Vernon Lewis. Vernon Lewis is a retired Procter & Gamble plant manager. He has an investment company, a Morehouse graduate, and he plants churches in Eastern Europe. I mean, what a picture that is. Morehouse brother planting churches in Romania. That's what he does. And Pastor Barber pastors a great church in St. Louis. Well, he used to have a woman come to his church every year named Baxter. I think it's Catherine Baxter. And she wrote a book called A Divine Revelation of Hell, where she said she had a vision. Jesus appeared to her and escorted her and gave her a guided tour of hell. And Pastor Leonard said, "Bill, you got to hear these tapes. Man, I'm telling you, we just had Sister Baxter in our church. It was awesome. You got to hear these tapes. So he gave me the series, 6 tapes. I started listening to those tapes. Charlie, I had to stop. It was so horrible. So horrible. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I think I'm a pretty tough dude. I've been through some stuff. But it was so horrible. Now listen, hell's no place that I'm ever going to visit. Okay. But it was such a horrible scene that she described. Some of the stuff she described that she saw was awful. It'll curl your hair. Or it'll straighten it, depending on what style you have. I'm telling you, it was horrible. She talked about going into certain rooms and seeing things and how demons would torment people, especially people who you know, used to teach the truth but got deceived, and preachers who were doing wrong, all this stuff, you know. I guess maybe I needed to hear that part, but I was going to walk right anyway. But it was horrible, the stuff she described. Now listen, do I believe that Jesus personally escorted this woman through hell? Yeah, I do. But I have faith in God's word, not in her vision. You with me? I accept it, but I don't believe what she said to the degree that I base my life on her vision. I base my life on His word. And there's enough horrible stuff in the word to keep me away from hell. You with me? And so we can appreciate what people have seen and what they know. But our confidence, our faith, our reliance has to be on something that's sure, that's firm, that's stable, and that's God's Word. Amen. You can always count on the Word. Amen? Amen? I don't discount somebody's experience unless it is contrary to what the Bible teaches. But I don't put my faith in people's vision. Now, I'll tell you one last story, and then we'll close for today. We'll finish this in a few weeks. But I remember one time I was a young man and I was ministering in a church. I was doing youth ministry. And we had a lot of the gifts of the Spirit in operation, which should be in every church. Every church is called to be a Spirit-filled church. That's God's will for every church, not just some, all of them. And this dear sister in the church came to me and she said, "I've got a word from the Lord for you." I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "The Lord told me that you're going to be a teacher in our Bible school. And you're going to teach this class and that class and this class and that class." She had the curriculum all laid out. And I'm thinking, okay. See, but what she didn't know was the Lord had spoken to me and told me to do something else. Told me exactly where to go and exactly what to do. And so she's telling me all this stuff. And then she said this. "Did you notice how I didn't ask you if you wanted to do this?" That's what she said to me. And I said, "Well, yeah, I kind of picked up on that." She said, "The Lord showed it to me." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." And you know what I did, don't you? I went on and obeyed God, did what He told me to do, not what she told me to do. And years later, I kept tabs and come to find out they never had a Bible school. There was no curriculum to teach. Had I listened to her, I'd have wasted a year, maybe two. Maybe it would have altered the course of my life. You see what I mean? And so I don't discount people's prophecies, but it first has to bear witness with what the Lord has told me on the inside. Amen? Amen? Many times we've listened to people's prophecies. Hey, listen, I'll just put it to you plainly like this. Everybody who says they heard from God didn't. Amen. Everybody who says they heard from God didn't. Now, some did, but some didn't. How do you know the difference? The Bible says, despise not prophecy. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just run it through the filter. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. Last time Marcel Joseph was here, he preached a message called Harvest, and he started prophesying right out of the box. You remember that? He got up here before he said, "Open your Bibles." He started prophesying, and you know what? It was true. He was revealing God's purpose for us as a church. And it'll bear witness with what the Lord is telling you on the inside. Are you with me? Amen. See, but if you don't have enough sense to follow the shepherd for yourself, don't let somebody else lead you, that is, from the outside. Amen? Amen. It's a good way to get tricked. And you ladies, here's the last thing I'll share with you. Don't marry a man just because he prophesied to you and said, "The Lord told me you're supposed to be my wife." You like that one? I used to hear that a lot in St. Louis. Oh my goodness, these young girls growing up in church, every time you turn around, "Pastor Bill, can I talk to you?" "Sure." "Well, you know so-and-so, I've been seeing him." "Yeah. Well, he told me the Lord said I'm supposed to be his wife." "Okay. What is the Lord telling you?" "Well, the Lord ain't told me nothing." I said, "Well, you better go with nothing instead of what he said." Listen, the most important decision you will ever make in life, after what you do with Jesus, is who you marry. That's the most important decision you will ever make. Amen? "Oh, but Pastor Bill, he's cute." Come on, cute wears off. He ain't going to look like that in 40 years. If he's still around. Are you with me? "Oh, but Pastor Bill, he's got money." Hey, money comes and money goes. You with me? If you want to marry money, go to the bank. Don't. Okay. "Oh, but Pastor Bill, he's this, he's that." Listen, be led by the shepherd. Amen. Be led by the shepherd. Amen. I don't know why I got off on that, but it's good anyhow. Hey, I'm telling you, it used to happen all the time. See, especially in big cities, you know. And I know it happens in smaller towns. But big cities. And you get these guys. Listen, guys who think they're players. They want to play the field. They want the ladies, right? See, they don't want to marry them ladies. They just want to play with them. Okay? But when they get to a certain age and they want to settle down and they want somebody they can trust, they can have confidence in, they ain't going with all them women they used to run with. They going to go to church, find him a nice church girl, all right? And so they learn how to speak Christianese for a little bit. Learn the lingo, you know, until they all right, I'm going to quit. And they used to come to me constantly. You know, I had one woman, dear sister, good friends today. "Pastor Bill, you know, this man said I'm supposed to be his wife." He said, "The Lord told him." I said, "Well, what did God tell you?" "He ain't told me nothing." I said, "Well, you better be careful. Don't marry him just because he said the Lord told him." Well, she married him. Went through hell. You with me? Listen, your marriage can be the closest thing to heaven or the closest thing to hell that you experience on this earth. Amen. It's a big decision. Be led by the shepherd. Amen. She went through it. Thank God in the end it all worked out. They're still married. Amen. I had another young lady. I just got a message from one of our mutual friends on Facebook about a month ago. Beautiful, beautiful young gal. Was an airline stewardess. She lived in St. Louis, but was based out of L.A. And so she'd fly to L.A. She'd work 3 days a week and then fly back to St. Louis. Met a guy at another Word Church, you know, Word Church. And she was part of our singles group. We had like 37 adults who were in our singles group. And one day I'm at our singles minister's home, Gleetha. And Gleetha's home was singles hangout central. Everybody hung out at her place. Gleetha's a corporate executive with Walgreens today. And so, you know, this young lady, I'm not going to say her name, beautiful young girl, was an airline stewardess. And she met a guy at another Word Church. And 6 weeks later, they're getting married. 6 weeks. I don't think paint dries in 6 weeks. 6 weeks. And so Gleetha was concerned. She said, "Pastor Bill, did so-and-so tell you?" "Tell me what?" "Well, she's getting married." I'm like, "Whoa." I said, "Who are you marrying?" She didn't want to talk to me then. You know, "Oh, I'm marrying this guy." And I said, "Well, how long have you known him?" "Well, 6 weeks." 6 weeks? I said, "Is that long enough?" She said, "Oh, but Pastor Bill, he goes to the Word Church." I said, "That doesn't mean you know this guy." I said, "Take your time. There's no deadline to meet. What are you rushing for? You're a young woman. You got your whole life ahead of you." Now, I'm not saying he's not the guy. I'm just saying, take your time, be led by the shepherd. Well, she didn't listen. She married this guy. This guy was so jacked up, it was ridiculous. I won't tell you what she went through, but it was horrible. And he went to a word church. Amen? And, you know, she had to get away from this nut. He was crazy. Absolutely crazy. He did stuff that they put you in jail for. And then I endeavored to talk to the fella after they're going through all this mess. And, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, Pastor, I know I need delivered. Well, that's one thing to know you need delivered. It's another thing to be delivered. Amen. And you should have never entered into a relationship with this young woman until you got delivered and stayed delivered for a period of time. At least 2 years. You can prove yourself. Are you with me?
Amen.
Put her through a nightmare. But thank God she's doing well today. About a month ago, I got a message on Facebook from a mutual friend of ours who used to go to the church. He said, do you recognize this gal in the photo? It's so-and-so. I thought, thank God she's still doing well. Amen. It pays to follow the shepherd. He has your best interest at heart. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Well, it's only 20 afters. You still got out before the buffet crowd. How's that? Hallelujah.